Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 1, we're going to read a few verses beginning with verse number 16. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 16. Come, let us reason together. That's the topic or the title this morning, since we can't project it up here. We've got lots of projectors, but none of them are working. And so pray that they'll be healed and we can get things up and going. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 16. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. We're going to talk from Isaiah chapter 1 for a few minutes here this morning, and we'll probably be in the book of Isaiah for a few services. And one of the most important things about the book of Isaiah is that even though that it's a book that describes God's warnings and even warnings of God's judgment upon a rebellious people, you see these little times in the middle of the text, just as it is here in chapter 1, where the Lord says, even though all of these things are true and all these things about your wickedness and your rebellion are true, yet I'm offering to you again mercy and forgiveness and salvation. And so you really could look and read the book of Isaiah and say this is just like another gospel message. It's the gospel according to Isaiah, because he even though he is a prophet who speaks about judgment that's falling upon Judah and all of the people of God for that matter, yet there are these little times when he drops in with a message of hope and a message of salvation. Thank God that for those of us here today, none of us here today, that we have deserved nothing but the judgments of God. All of us deserve only the judgment of God. But God, in his love and his mercy, has provided hope and salvation for every one that will put their faith and their trust in the Lord. Amen. You see, Isaiah is a prophet to Judah. It says there in verse number 1, during four different reigns, four different kings, that he is the prophet of Judah. You remember the kingdom is divided after Solomon and the 10 northern tribes and the two southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin, that are just called Judah, really, because of the size of Judah and because of the capital of Jerusalem. They're just called Judah. So when you see that term, usually it's just speaking about those southern tribes after that the nation is the kingdom is completely divided. But Isaiah is a prophet that speaks to them before. He is a prophet before the captivity, before the exile. He is warning them of what will happen if they do not return to the Lord. He's warning them about their sin, their rebellion, and he goes into quite a bit of detail about the attitudes that they have and the life that they have. Actually, the name Isaiah means help or the help of salvation. Glory to God. And so whenever he came, he was even though he was giving warnings, he was still speaking to them about the hope of salvation. And thank God that we can proclaim that same hope today in a time when there's a lot of spiritual darkness all around us. You see, prophets were able to see things that no one else could see. Prophets would see things that the common man wouldn't see. They had not just a horizontal view or even just a vertical view, but they had this above it all view where they saw what was going on. They saw it in perspective from God's point of view, and thus they were able to speak for God. I mean, this is the last weeks. There's the left, the liberals, and they're screaming, "We're right. Come our way. Do it our way." The conservatives on the right, they're saying, "No, we're right. Come our way." It's all horizontal. They're all saying, "We want you to come our way, but we need to be, as Christians, above it all." Amen. We need to be able to see some things far beyond what the average person is seeing. As Christians, we need to be able to see that there is a bigger plan, a greater perspective. And this is, of course, election year, so for the next 9 months, you're going to hear a lot of this loud noise and screaming going on. And we need to tune in to heaven. Amen. Let's get above it. Let's get above it. And let's call upon the Lord. And let's believe God to give us a heavenly perspective about what's going on in our world and in our lives around us. Amen. You know, God can open our eyes so that we can see what the average person does not see. Amen. And an ability to see and to comprehend and to understand. That's what the prophet Isaiah saw. He saw the way they were living, and he saw the impending judgment that was coming their way if they did not heed the voice of warning. Amen. So the book of Isaiah is a lot of warnings. And before the exile, before they were taken into captivity, and he is constantly repeating the message of warning, but then also slipping in that message of hope to them to let them know God will bring judgment, but if you'll only listen to the voice of the Lord, you can receive mercy. And that's the message of the gospel today in the dark world that we live in right now. Let me tell you, America is ripe for judgment. We are moving further and further away from God. There's a lot of things that are happening in our world today that really would make us blush a few years ago. Some of the boldness and the wickedness of this generation. And we need to hear the warning of the voice of the Lord concerning the times that we're living in right now. Now, I want you to just notice here in this chapter some of the things that Isaiah pointed out about the spiritual condition that they were in. He said, this is verse 2, "I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." Let me tell you, there's not anything more hard to take than to pour your life into someone and then for them to reject that. To pour yourself into them like a parent would into their children and then for them to turn away from that. But understand that God knows how you feel. He knows how you feel because he loved a people, and it says that he nourished them and brought them up, and they have rebelled against him. God was with them. He brought them out of Egypt. He brought them through the Red Sea. He provided for them water. He provided for them food. He gave them victories over their enemies, but yet he nourished them and brought them up, and they rejected his voice. Amen. Sometimes we need to remember that we're entering into the sufferings of Jesus because he's rejected, and sometimes you'll be rejected by the very ones that you pour yourself into. And that's what Isaiah is saying to Judah. This is what you have done. He calls them a sinful nation. That doesn't mean that they were all sinful. We know there was a remnant of people in Judah that were godly and righteous. There were a few, but everyone is affected by sin in a nation. It's true in a community. It's true in a family. If just one person in a family decides, I'm going to live a wicked, evil life, the rest of the family is affected by that. Everybody is affected by that bad and wicked decision that they make. And so remember that he's saying you're a sinful nation. You're all affected by the sins of some of the nation. And you're known as a sinful nation. You're a people laden with iniquity. And he's talking about the heaviness, the burden of sin that rests upon a people. You've seen it. I've seen it many, many times. People that were bound in their sin and they've got a downcast look. They're beaten down by their sin. They're weighed down with the heaviness of their sin. That's what Isaiah is saying about their sinful condition. He said, you're a seed of evildoers. And he was talking about the generation that was to come. That because of your sinfulness, that your seed was going to follow in your footsteps. Children that are corruptors. Children that turn away from the voice of the Lord. Amen. The awfulness of when one family member decides to go the way of wickedness and the rest of the family then is affected by that evil decision. Children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel under anger. They are gone away backward. That was the condition they were in. That was the direction that they were following. And that they were, verse 3, he says that they are, the ox knows his owner, the ass the master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. You're saying these animals that are considered to be dumb farm animals, as dumb as they are, they know who feeds them. They know where their food comes from. And when the feeding time comes, they know how to get back to the crib and acknowledge the fact, you're my master. You're the one that takes care of me. But he was saying to Judah, you don't even know that I've been taking care of you all these years. You don't even recognize that I'm the one that's provided for you and taking care of you in every area of your need. Judah was in a very bad spiritual condition, moving further and further away from God. It says in verse number 5 that they were stricken. Why should ye be stricken anymore? And he was talking about the fact that they had been punished. They had faced the Philistine armies and had suffered. They faced the Assyrian armies and had suffered and had lost so much, but they did not learn their lesson. I can't for the life of me figure it out, but I see people who sin. They face the consequences of their sin. They suffer. They go through hardship, and then they just go headlong right back into more of it. And they just keep going further and further away from what they need, going further and further away from God. The scripture says your whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. Everyone, the whole head there is talking about the authorities, the leaders, everybody. And it's not just a few people, but it's everybody. Even the leadership, even those that are in authority have all gone away from the voice of the Lord and will not heed the warnings. Verse 7, your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land strangers devoured in your presence, and the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard. Now this is a real vivid picture of all that's left there. They have faced so much that now they're just in a little hut out by the cucumber patch, and that's all they have left. That's all they have left. And he was describing Jerusalem and saying, "This is all you are now. You've been so diminished. You've suffered so much, and you won't learn your lesson." And how many times have you saw people who are suffering and you know, going through all kinds of things because of their willfulness and their sinfulness, and yet they won't listen and won't learn and won't come back to the Lord. Isaiah is talking to a bunch of stubborn, rebellious people who refuse to hear the voice of the Lord, even though that they have suffered so much. And then in verse 9, he begins to talk to them about their worship. He said, you bring your sacrifices, but they're vain to me. They're worthless to me. You're going through the motions of religion, but it doesn't mean anything. You bring your sacrifices, they don't mean anything. And you offer, what is verse 11, what is the purpose of all the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings. And literally, he's just saying, I am through. I am full of all these sacrifices. I don't want this anymore. You keep bringing me these sacrifices, but your heart is a million miles away from me. You're not really worshiping me. You're just going through the motions of worship. This was a nation that was really in a mess. Finally, God says, bring no more vain oblations. Stop this. Stop going through all this. Stop this vain worship. It doesn't mean anything to me. He's talking about hypocrisy and people who have, their heart is far away from God, but they still want to go through the motion of religion and worship. Hopefully, that's not you or me. Amen. But our heart is after God. Now, with all that I've described here, all that Isaiah has pointed that was going on in their life and in that nation, all that they had suffered and the terrible condition that they're in our text here today in verse number 16, he says, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doing. There's the gospel. Amen. There's the gospel. Amen. You look around and there's all this evil and all this rebellion and all this stubbornness, and people are suffering under the load of sin, and they just go through suffering so much because of their determined willfulness against God. And then God, somehow in his mercy, says, if you will just turn to me, if you'll just turn to me, I can change all of that. I can change all of that. Now, when he says, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil, we know that they needed a spiritual cleansing. We know that it's only through the washing and the cleansing and the blood of Jesus that our sins can be washed away. But he's talking about making a move toward righteousness and a move away from your sinful life. Amen? I've seen people that the Lord was convicting and dealing with them, and even before they got saved, they started saying, you know, I need to go to church. And they start going to church. And I've known of people before that would read their Bible for weeks, months even, before they got saved, because they were just making a move toward God. And I've known of people who'd stop some of their sinful ways and some of their habits. They wanted to try to clean up their life, and that's not a bad thing. They were trying to stop some of those wicked ways and begin to turn their heart toward the things of God. Toward the things that never even got saved. That's what Isaiah is talking about here. He said, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil from your doings from before mine eyes, and cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. And he's just saying, learn to do the right thing. Stop doing the evil and start learning to do what's right. Change the pattern of your life and start doing the things that are right, the things that are pleasing to the Lord. Start to develop a whole new pattern of right living. Turn away from your sin. Amen. That's what conversion is all about. A conversion is a turnaround. It is a moving to a completely opposite direction. It's resetting the direction of your life. It's turning away from sin and turning your heart toward the things of the Lord. You may not be saved yet, but you're just making an effort. You're making an effort toward God and toward righteousness and toward the things of God. And that's what Isaiah is telling Judah to do. Turn away from your sin. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Stop being so self-centered. And redirect your life and start caring about others other than yourself. Amen. Amen. You see, the backslider in heart, the Bible says he's filled with his own ways. He's all wrapped up in himself. And that's all he cares about is what's going on in his life. And that's what's important to him. But a person that's making a change and turning toward the Lord, he's turning away from his sinful life and his old ways. And he starts to see others in their need and starts to reach out to other people. And his selfish ways are changed because he begins to try to minister to those that are in need. Amen. Glory to God. Pursue after the things of God. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Start noticing others that are really legitimately in need. And he's talking about changing the course of your life. And he's warning them, if you'll do this, or rather challenging them, if you will do this, then he's going to change you. He's going to work in your life if you'll just make a move toward the Lord. Amen. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the willow, for the widow. And then in verse 18, come now, let us reason together. This is like legal terminology here. It's like, let's bring this case and put it all out in the open. Come and let us reason together. Let's put everything out in the open. All the evidence, let's put it all out in the open. Come and let us reason together. He's just saying you need to be honest with God about who you are and what your life has been and the fact that you want to come to God and you want to know God. Come, let us reason together. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Glory to God. You can't get the gospel any clearer than that. That is the gospel. So Isaiah is just right in the middle of all of this judgment, in the middle of all this wickedness and the awful condition that Judah is in. He's saying, if you'll just turn, if you'll just turn toward God, if you'll begin to allow God to help you to turn away from your sin, come and be honest before the Lord. Come and let's reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, the word there, scarlet, comes from a word that means double dipped. And when they wanted certain materials to be dyed that deep red scarlet color, they would dip it twice, and it would so put the color into that cloth so deep that you couldn't get it out. It was so deep, and it just means double dipped. Though your sins be as scarlet, double dipped. You're just so wicked. You're just so far gone that there doesn't seem to be any hope for you. The Bible says, though your sins are as scarlet, though they're double dipped, so even though you're so stained by sin, they can still be white as snow. That's the gospel. That's the message of hope to a world and to sinners who will say to you, there's no possible way I could ever get saved. I've been too bad. I've lived too wickedly. There's no hope for me. Well, there's only one hope for you. There's only one hope for the sinner that's been double dipped in the stain of sin, and that's Jesus. That's the message of the gospel that can change your life, and you can be made as white as snow. He's saying this is a hopeless case because you've been double dipped in the sins and the stain of sin that's in your life. But Jesus can cleanse you and make you as white as snow. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
That's why we proclaim the message of the gospel to whosoever will, no matter how far away from God or how deep in sin or how long they have been in the depth of their sin. Jesus can forgive them and can cleanse them and make them white as snow. Hallelujah. That's what he did for you. That's what he did for every one of us here in this place today. If you've been born again, that's what he did for you. If you've been saved and born again, amen. You have been cleansed. You have been made white as snow. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. They shall be white as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Amen. Verse 19. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat of the good of the land. He's beginning to promise them. Here's what's going to happen. If you'll do it my way, if you'll turn away from your way and begin to obey the voice of the Lord, I will bless you. I'll reward you. I'll restore everything that's been taken from you. All the destruction, all the damage, everything. I'll restore you. That's what God can do. He can take the sinner that's addicted, the sinner that's messed up in sin. He can take the sinner that is so far away from God that we would all throw up our hands and say, could there be any hope for that person? Oh, but he can take that person that begins to turn toward the Lord, and he can restore them and save them and change their life and change their eternity. Glory to God. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat it, the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So in these few verses there, 16 through 20, you receive a wonderful gospel message that can be proclaimed to anyone out there in the world to let them know it doesn't matter how far gone they are in their sin. Jesus can wash you and can make you whiter than snow. Amen. He can make you white as wool. He can do a wonderful, miraculous work to change your life and to change you completely. Hallelujah. Remove the stain that's been fixed in your life and change you. No human power can do that. No one can do that. But only God can reach that person in their sin and bring them to a place of salvation. Now we know this last verse really was prophetic, because he said if you refuse and rebel, then you're going to face the sword. And that's what happened to them. They continued in their rebellion, and they faced in just a few years the captivity, Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon, and all of that went along with the captivity. They suffered. They went through the horribleness of the judgments of God that fell upon them. I want to remind us here today that the gospel message is for whosoever will. Whosoever will. But for those who refuse and rebel and are determined to go their own way, you're facing serious judgment. Serious judgment. And may God be merciful to us today and to you. And I just pray that you'll hear the message of truth, and you'll put your faith and your trust in the Lord today. Hallelujah. Father, thank you, Lord, that in the middle of all of the darkness of our world, there's still a message of hope. And even though, Lord, there is a generation that we're living among today, Lord, that is so resistant and so hardened to the things of God, I know, Lord, that the message of the gospel, the message of hope, can still break through all of that darkness. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, if there's even one in this service today that they know that they've been going their own way, they have been living a life that is not pleasing to God, they have been wrapped up in their own desires, in their own ways, and they need you, Lord, as a Savior, as their Savior. That's available to them today if they'll just receive it and come to you, Lord. Oh, God, do a work in this place today, we pray. Amen. Would you stand, everybody?